Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN, I'm John Landecker, and with us is Dr. Tom B. Lesseter, who's the lead author and Marine Research Fellow at ZSL's Institute of Zoology. Good evening and welcome to WGN, Doctor.
Good evening. It's good to speak with you, and please call me Tom.
Okay, well, I'll be glad to do that, Tom. What is the research that we are going to be talking about, Tom?
So the paper that we've just published tells a small story about the potential, you know, role that the dolphins can be having in remote coral reefs. So that's what we've been studying over the last couple of years, and particularly how these dolphins may be acting as a giving a helping hand to endangered coral reefs.
Well, I'll explain what the coral reef is and what danger they're under.
So I'm a marine biologist, and I work on for a conservation organization. And coral reefs, you know, anyone who's had the opportunity to dive with them or to snorkel with them, you know, will realize that they're very sort of striking, emblematic habitats, really, and are very productive and, you know, support a lot of fisheries. And one of the sort of risks or one of the sort of threats at the moment is, you know, I'm sure that you heard of climatic change
and the impact
that has on coral reefs.
Yes, indeed. And so the climatic change that you're referring to, what's the negative impact of that on the coral reef itself?
So what is happening under, you know, the sort of increasingly happening at the moment and also under forecasted temperature increases, which we're increasingly observing, is that the corals are bleaching, basically. So the coral is a sort of a symbiotic, it's like a collaboration between two organisms, a little polyp and then, you know, zooanthellae, which are these little algae that live inside them. And the little polyp will sort of feed, you know, using its tentacles or will feed using a sort of passive way. And then the zooanthellae itself will be photosynthesizing the way plants do. And under stress, which is what's happening with heat stress, these zooanthellae will be sort of expulsed from the polyp. And that leads to sort of, you know, these bleached and often deserted reefs that you now see.
So the idea that the coral reef, which is usually in a very colorful state, gets bleached, this is an indication of its demise.
Yes, that's exactly right. And its demise, there's potential recovery. So sometimes the reefs are able to recover. And obviously, you know, trying to understand the circumstances under which they can recover or not is, you know, becoming increasingly important.
So I'm a novice to all of this, so it would appear to me that if the reef dies or bleaches or becomes ineffective, then that, of course, affects everything that relies on the reef to sustain their life, these organisms that you were talking about. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. You know, corals sustain, a lot of fish. You know, in addition to the, you know, the sort of the important structure, and often, you know, the basically by ways of acting like a, you know, a barrier against waves and weather and that sort of thing. So yeah, this is a grave concern, and especially for the island nations where, you know, they're also having to cope with sea level rise.
So your research team has been looking into ways to save the coral reef, and what have you found?
Well, you know, our interest in this particular case was to, it was, you know, it's the way research often goes is that you set out with one set of objectives and then you sort of stumble on another set of results that didn't really. And here what we were doing actually was trialing a hydrophone, just basically an underwater microphone that was supposed to be detecting illegal fishing. So we deployed this on a mooring inside a tropical atoll in this place called the Chagos Archipelago, and left it for 6 months. And we didn't really know what to expect when, you know, we recovered this hydrophone. But what we did notice was that it was very clear that, you know, dolphins would only start, you know, vocalizing during the day. So he was completely silent during at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And that to us was quite interesting. And it was only when we reached out and spoke with, you know, one of the other co-authors on this publication, a chap called Charles Anderson, who had been working a lot with tourist operators or has been, you know, taking tourists out to look for dolphins. And he said, well, this makes perfect sense because we see the dolphins, you know, coming in to the Atoll Lagoon every day in the morning, starting at 6 o'clock, and then sort of leaving in the afternoon again. So they very much have a sort of a daily routine, you know, just like humans. They sort of, except it's the other way around. So they basically, you know, leave the atoll at night and then, you know, to feed and then come back in the morning to rest.
And then what happens while they're there?
So what we, you know, we estimated based on sort of on our understanding of how these are spinner dolphins. They're very much a species which are, they're sort of considered coral reef specialists. So a lot of coral reefs around the world have them. And what we know is that they're probably not feeding during the time that they're inside the lagoons resting. And we also know that they like to feed on deep. We call these, you know, these are deep fishes. They're small fishes that come up at night from the depths. So they go out at night to feed on these deep mesopelagic fish. They're called. It's a bit of a geek term, but it basically means, you know, sort of deep midwater fishes. And then when they come in, that means that, you know, if you assume that they're sort of, you know, based on their sort of their consumption, their estimates of consumption, you can quantify the amount of nutrients that they deposit basically by ingestion. So you know just through their feces basically. And that from a, you know, if you're a coral reef, that is very interesting because these nutrients are have been shown to be really important for the productivity of reefs and also for, you know, the resilience of these reefs to, you know, to recovery following sort of bleaching events.
So what you're saying is that just like any other mammal, they go out, they eat, and then, of course, then they digest their food, and they happen to be digesting it while they're spending time on the reef. So, therefore, all the excrement from the dolphin goes on to the reef, and then it was your discovery, by monitoring all of this, that very act, just doing that, that the nutrients that are contained in the dolphin waste, if you will, have an extremely positive effect on the reef itself, correct?
That's exactly right. And I should be careful about not sort of, you know, over, you know, stating our work. I think it's a very strong indication, you know, the amount of nitrogen that these animals are producing, the amount of nutrients that they're producing is of such an order that it will likely be important. But the next step now, and this is kind of we're just embarking on this bigger piece of work. You know, if you can apologize, a shameless plug. We're about to start this initiative.
Plug away. There's no shameless plugging here at WGN. We plug stuff all the time. Feel no shame. Oh, no, please.
and more importantly, we're about to start recruiting. So we're looking for, you know, to eager, you know, eager young scientists wanting to join our team. And the next step is, like you very correctly identified, is to sort of see, to then test this empirically. So we basically do the coral reefs, which have these dolphins, do they recover faster and have they got bigger fish productivity? We haven't established that bit yet, and that would be, you know, that would be the next step, and obviously have big implications for the way we look at these animals.
Well, yes, I mean, I can just imagine the huge implications. I mean, it's almost like the dolphins are taking care of the reef themselves. I mean, of course, there are other aspects to it, but this would be a major finding to realize that just by dolphins returning and digesting, that what they give off is an extremely helpful ingredient to the recovery of the reef. That's a very natural way. That's a very holistic, natural way of approaching the problem.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it is a complicated aspect because, you know, right. A lot of, you know, and humans, you know, often they come in conflict through, you know, the way that people's livelihood and, you know, they could be, you know, I'm half Norwegian, so I come from Norway, and there's been, you know, concerns sometimes about, you know, seals eating fish and that, yes, sort of thing. So it's not always clear, I guess, what the bottom line is in, yeah, these kind of exchanges.
Right.
And,
right.
And, So trying to sort of, yeah, put that in numbers, you know, as quantitative ecologists, that's what we like. And, you know, as conservationists, we obviously like stories where basically we can articulate that these animals are actually, you know, good for human activities as well.
If this turns out to be something that you find that is a definitive conclusion to your study, would it then be a hypothesis, perhaps, that animal excrement underwater or in other ways could possibly be a benefit to the other oceanic dilemmas that face us today?
Yeah, I think that's a really good place to start. So, you know, I like to look at things in, you know, I'm a sort of spatial and temporal ecologist. I like to do the, you know, space and time are the things I like to play with. So,
right,
you know, for us, you know, you sort of, you know, the first step would be sort of where are these animals? You know, where do,
right,
they exist? How many are there? Sort of basic ecological question.
Right.
And then you sort of start to pair that with information on reef health, things like, you know, grazing rates, you know, the sort of thing that you would talk about if you were if you had a business over turnover, you know, productivity,
right,
things of that nature. And yeah, and then sort of try and, you know, because it's, you know, and then obviously the tricky bit is always the correlation doesn't equal causation. So
right,
trying to make that link and not, you know, and obviously if there's some natural experiments, you know, where, for example, the dolphins have vacated a region for whatever reasons or have kind of repopulated the region, those are very interesting natural experiments because, mm-hmm, we can then sort of see, well, you know, do you see a change in these kind of these coral reef health indicators as a response, as a reaction?
Well, you know, there's an expression, at least here, this side of the pond, that one man's trash is another man's treasure. So you might be able to say that some dolphin trash is also a reef's treasure.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Doctor, for being with us. And no pressure or anything, but please go out there and save the world, won't you?
No problem. I'll be right on that. Thanks very much, John.
Thanks. Nice talking to you.
Nice speaking with you.